Welcome in to the Air Raid Sports Podcast. I am Chandler Carney, and with me as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
We are back after a week hiatus, and we couldn't be happier.
That is correct.
Long drive. Was it fun?
No. People can't drive. No. Like, you come up in the left lane, somebody in the right lane is going like 60. They're catching up to the car in front of them. They just been riding the same distance for seems like half a mile. And right when I'm about to pass them, they just want to pull out in front of me. Really?
Anybody?
It's really irritating. I didn't hit anybody. I gave some stern looks at people, though.
Oh, look out, Matt Luke. Can't fuss at nobody, but you can look at them.
Heck yeah, man.
All right, we're going to unpack a lot in the show today. Brady's got a hot take on scheduling. We're going to talk about East Coast bias and how people need to respect the Pac-12 more. And then we're going to give our picks, and we have a guest picker coming on our show today. And it's the first one of the year.
That is if he's awake.
It's a very good possibility. He'll be asleep.
To be determined.
All right, so we're going to get started with the scheduling. And there's been a lot of hot takes about Alabama and the whole Nick Saban press conference while scheduling New Mexico State. And just people saying they don't play anybody. But really what they're saying is we want Bama to lose. We want these teams to lose.
Yeah, they want them to play Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, and Clemson as their non-conference opponents for the year. Newsflash, people. Why are you going to play those four teams when you can play Jackson State four times, win your conference, and still go to the playoff? Why does Nick Saban want to put his players through 12 weeks of torment? As tough as SEC already is, why does he want to schedule two, even one, major Power 5 opponent? You throw your team out there, one of your major key guys gets hurt in that game and they're out for the season. Say Tua gets hurt in that game this year. Mac Jones is not taking them through the SEC to a national championship.
But you don't think Tua Jr. could?
No. I don't think they run the West and run through the SEC like they do. I think if that would have happened, there'd be 2-3 losses in the SEC. And then the same people begging Alabama to play these people are like, oh, if they would have never scheduled that game, it wouldn't have happened and they would have been in the national championship.
Well, yeah, hindsight's always 20-20.
When you're Alabama, the Alabamas and Clemsons and Ohio States and people like that of the world.
Oklahoma, you go ahead and say it, man.
Yeah. Why do you schedule major opponents when you can get in the playoff? The NCAA has told you, you can play nobody. It does not matter. It doesn't matter who you play. If you win your conference and you're undefeated, you're in the playoff. They don't care who you play to get there.
Or even Notre Dame.
Obviously, with Notre Dame last year and the weakest schedule they had, I mean, they don't – all they look at is wins and losses. Like we were talking about earlier. Say LSU schedules or Auburn schedules Texas and Oregon, and they play back-to-back to open up the season. They lose both those games and go 0-2. They come into conference play, beat Bama, and have one slip-up game against another conference foe. They go to the SEC championship against Georgia and beat Georgia. So then you have a 3-loss LSU, a 1-loss runner-up in Georgia, and a 1-loss Bama. Who's the committee taking? Like, what order is that in? Georgia's 1, Bama's 2, and then they would take LSU because they have 3 losses.
Yeah.
But you look at the strength of schedule, and LSU is clear-cut number 1 ahead of everybody. But because they took a chance and played those two teams and you had Georgia and Bama take cakewalks, they're the better team because they only have 1 loss. But you have better quality of loss than they do.
I think one of the things people don't realize is being an athletics director, I'm sure, is very hard and time-consuming.
Yeah.
Because these schedules are made years in advance.
And you have no idea what that team's going to be when you get there.
For instance, the Notre Dame games with Georgia, those have been set for years. And it just so happens that they're fighting for playoff spots now.
Yeah. Say you scheduled TCU this time 6 years ago for this season, well, you would have thought you'd be playing a top 10, 15 team.
Yeah.
And they're maybe at best middle of the pack in the Big 12 now.
And, I mean, that 1 year they could have beat the New England Patriots for all I care.
Yeah, they stink when we got the crap into that stick. But that's a different discussion for a different day. If I had to hear that train horn one more time, I didn't know. I may have jumped off the top of the Georgia Dome.
But it's just like Florida, people scheduling Florida State the first game of the year these days. You know, Alabama probably did it when that was the last relevant year for them.
Yeah.
And then Francois gets hurt.
They're not that good.
You know, I mean, yeah, they played Louisville last year, but Lamar Jackson wasn't there.
Not too good.
I think we all think that things could be done a little bit better.
Yeah, but they're not going to as long as you can play. Why do you want to play 12 grueling games when you can just play your conference schedule?
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I think the only times that it would be very necessary for teams to play big out-of-conference games like Auburn did, like LSU did, because that way, if they were to beat Alabama or you know, have one loss on their record, and they're trying to get a playoff spot. Well, we beat a Power Five team non-conference. Alabama didn't.
Another thing is, you look, Bama and Clemson are the standard.
Yes.
Who can they go play besides each other where they can really test themselves and see what they have?
Really, I mean, really Oklahoma and Ohio State are only the other two.
Yeah, really nobody there that would be willing to play.
No.
Where those schools could test themselves. And then you have Texas trying to be back, which they are not. And LSU, who's trying to get on par with Bama, trying to beat them again. They're playing each other, I think, to more so see where they're at.
Yeah.
Instead of see how they can stack up against Bama or what they need to improve on against a tougher team. Whereas Bama and Clemson, they're already there. There's nobody they have to measure themselves against.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the thing is, if something like this were going to happen, the NCAA would have to regulate it. They would have to say, look, you're going to have to play such and such games out of conference, all this and that.
Yeah, which they won't do.
The bottom line of anything is making money, okay? Everybody wants to make the money. And I see why people want to do this if you're in advertisement or you're TV network or something, but the logistics to actually work this stuff out, it's just years in advance, and you can never tell what's going to happen. That's why I don't fault Alabama for playing these smaller schools. I don't fault anyone for doing it.
They play who they can play, because if you're a Power Five team, your goal should be, I put should be, your goal should be, if we're not competing for a championship this year, we're building to compete for a championship at some point. That should be the goal of every Power Five school. Although it don't look like that at all times, that should be everyone's goal, to build themselves up to be able to compete with Bama or Clemson someday. So why do they want to go and play Bama early in the season and get a loss? Say you play Bama early in the year and you lose. Take Ole Miss last year. You lose 60-something to 7. You're like, we can't compete with anybody on that standard. And I think it sort of takes a hit at your team doing that. And nobody wants to play Bama, and these are the only people they can get.
Yeah, I think the more interesting and intriguing matchups would be maybe, okay, for instance, this week you have TCU and Purdue playing.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to be
an even matchup.
Cal coming here next week playing Ole Miss. I think that that's two teams, middle of the pack in their conferences, but non-conference games, which also those games were set years in advance.
They're still intriguing games.
Yeah. The only really non-conference Power Five things that you see a lot are the out-of-conference rivalries. Georgia Tech, Georgia, Florida State. I think that Florida and the Miami rivalry should be one of those things that happens every 4 years at least.
Yeah.
Because people like to see it.
But I understand why they don't play every
year. I do. And I think that the Texas A&M rivalry should try to make a comeback.
I agree. It should be like sort of like the Miami-Florida thing, sort of like a once every 4 to 5 year thing.
Because the only big difference now is, you know, Texas is playing a conference game that week during rivalry week. And I get that. I understand.
Also, the thing with the Big 12 is they now play nine conference games.
Yeah, they have to play everybody in the conference.
They play a round robin.
Yeah. And that's why I know that it's definitely hard for them to work that out. And if they could ever get back to the 12 schools, then they probably work something out differently.
Because you put A&M on that schedule, and then you have basically 10 conference games.
Yeah.
Whereas you look in the SEC and they have 8. And if they take a chance, they still have 3 other games.
I mean, the SEC could even do something about this if it got too much, because they could just say, hey, look, we're going to play 2 constants and 2 rotation teams. Yeah. And that way you only play 2 out of conference games.
Yeah.
I don't see the point in everyone wanting to expand everything. Everyone's wanting to change everything.
I think it's good the way it is.
This playoff thing's been in existence for what? This will be the 5th year, 2020?
Fifth or sixth.
So I think it started 2015, 5 years.
Just let it go, man.
Just let it run its course. Let's see what happens.
I mean, we had the BCS for what, ever?
Since 98, it's over 10 years almost.
15 years.
My math was way off on that one.
17 years. Yeah. It was 15.
Yeah. I was thinking.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's 2018.
It happens.
That's on me.
It happens.
But either way, it's more of people just want something different all the time. People are like, oh, it's not working. After the first year, I could say, okay, this did not go how they thought it would because of the TCU-Baylor thing.
Yeah.
And then it was...
And now Nick Saban saying the championship game because of that.
Yeah, and then it was Nick Saban saying, I think you need to win your conference to get in. And then they lose their conference, and he says, you know, I feel like we've done everything to get in. We deserve to be in.
You don't have to win your conference.
The first year, it was you have to win your conference to be in. That's why we're not taking Big 12 teams.
Yes.
Nick Saban even said that. Then it was, well, we lost, but we deserve to be in. We're going to let you in. And then Notre Dame's, well, you don't even have to be in a conference to get in.
You just play 12 games.
So what, even if you go to 8 teams, 9 and 10 are left out.
And you're going to have the same discussion.
You go to 16 teams, well, guess what? 17 and 18 are left out.
Same discussion. I don't think you can ever get to 16.
Not with having bowl games with it.
No, 16 is too much.
And I know we talked today about the only logical thing that I could see if you expanded it would be adding one more bowl game.
Yeah.
And having 4 and 5 play each other for
like
a
wild
game.
Card game. Basically, if you want to look at it. Because if you look at Major League Baseball or the NFL, that NFL has wild card weekend. And then in baseball, you have 163rd game on each side, AL and NL. And whoever wins gets a 1 seed. Simple. If you want to have a problem with 4 and 5, that's how you solve it.
Yeah.
But even when you do that, it's going to be 6 and 5. No matter how many's in, it's always going to be so-and-so got left out.
You're right.
No, but that's the society we live in.
It is. And that's just the way the world works.
Yes.
Look, I had a professor one time, and She was very, very nice. It was a history professor, and she told us, look, if you have an 89 in this class, I will round your grade up to an A. If you have a 79, I will round your grade up to a B. She's like, but the 1 point is the cutoff line. Like, that's it. I can't go lower than that. Because, okay, well, if she went to 88, I'll round it up to an A. Well, why don't you round my 87 to an A?
Exactly.
And then before long, everything is an A.
At some point in everything, a line has to be drawn and just be like, this is how it is, and this is how it's going to be. We're not changing it.
You want to change it? let's run its course. We sign the contract, and then we'll bring it up for discussion.
Exactly.
But I think now in this discussion, you should have every commissioner from every Power Five conference in this discussion.
Yeah.
And have an open discussions about it.
Because everybody's like, UCF should have been in that year or whatever. Or they could have played with somebody that year.
I agree that they could have played, but they didn't deserve to be in.
No, you want to take a group of five team and put them in. Every year, there's not going to be a group of five team that can compete with the four that's going to be in there.
No.
And if you just make it to where, yeah, we're just going to put one in every year, whoever gets that draw is going to have an easy win.
I think the only way the group of five gets in is if there's an expansion.
That's the only way.
And I just don't see how you're going to expand this.
Because two lost conference champions in the Power Five are still better, still have better resumes than undefeated group of five.
I know that I've said on this show before, you know, expand it, do the top four seeds, play home games in December. But the logistics to work that out as far as season ticket holders and people like that and skyrocketing tickets, that's a lot to take in.
Yeah. I like it how it is. Because you still, at four, you still have where if you're not in it, you can still play for something that matters.
Maybe we just like it because we're Ole Miss fans and we'll never be there.
I don't know, man. I don't think as many people as they make it seem have a problem with it.
No.
The only people that have a problem with it are the fan base that's at five every year.
That's like when there's a big opinion on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, Twitter only represents like 1% of the population.
Exactly.
So it doesn't even really matter.
I meet new people all the time and they say they don't have Twitter. I just look at them dumbfounded. I'm like, what do you do?
You don't have Facebook. So,
no.
Like, which I don't have Facebook anymore either.
But I'm like, what? Facebook's gotten too old.
Yeah, but you've never had one. Is that not? Yeah. That's correct.
Pretty much.
I don't have one anymore because someone hacked my account.
Yeah.
Facebook wouldn't help me get back in. It's a long story.
It's okay.
They wanted me to upload my driver's license.
No.
I was like, nah, I'm good, guys.
No.
I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Like people my age who don't have Twitter, I'm like, why? I'm like, why?
I bet they live a healthier lifestyle.
Probably, but I mean, I love Twitter too much.
It is a very fun app, but I mean, like, I feel like Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, those are kind of
those are the main things.
Those are what's on your phone if you don't have those apps.
What do you do? Like, if you're not out doing something. What do you do when you're on the pot if you don't have those apps?
Do you just, like, read the back of the soap still? Like, come on. It's almost 2020. Who's doing that?
Do you have a paper delivered to your house every day?
You got magazines just sitting in your bathroom still?
Read your Sports Illustrateds?
I don't even have them in my bathroom.
I mean,
if I wanted to read them, I'd read them online on my phone.
Yeah. I feel like we just got on a Twitter thread wormhole.
Yeah, but that's the joys of social media and sports. I mean, it all relates. You look at on Saturday, tomorrow.
From August till the middle of February, Twitter is my favorite place to be.
Better than Oxford?
Like, you know what I mean. You get it.
I get it.
You get it.
All right, let's talk about East Coast bias for a second. I think that too many people don't give the Pac-12 enough credit for their football teams.
Especially the committee.
Yeah. And I understand that there's a lot of people will say this about them. There's always that slip up between them, whether it's Washington or Washington State last year, or it's going to be, or, you know, Utah. Then they lose that one game to each other.
Every year.
And it's kind of like, well, why can't we have nice things? Well, because y'all always beat each other once a time and, you know, once a year. And so it's hard to determine that.
What would happen if Bama lost one game? As long as they get to Atlanta and beat Georgia, they'll be fine.
I just don't.
And then they'll put Bama and Georgia in ahead of Pac-12, who also has one loss.
Only two Pac-12 schools have went to the playoff. Oregon went the first year, and then Washington went, I think, 2 years later.
Yeah. You can say what you want about the SEC. It's just top heavy.
Yeah.
There's four teams in it. That's it.
Listen, people are going to find that out when Cal rolls into Oxford next week.
Exactly.
And people are writing this up as a dub for Ole Miss.
It's going to be a battle. It's a one-score game, I think.
Maybe we haven't said it enough on this show. Maybe we just talked about it amongst ourselves. I don't know. But California Golden Bears, and I'm about to say it, have the best secondary in college football.
That's not a far-fetched statement.
Their five DBs are probably all going to get drafted.
That is not a far-fetched statement.
Not first round, but they're all getting drafted.
I'd trade our secondary for theirs in a heartbeat.
Their linebacking core, top five in the country.
Their defense is top two or three.
The way that they operate schematically is crazy. That's why they beat Washington.
And I think we're starting to see what a good scheme defensively can do for you. Because we really don't have many players that weren't here last year. We're just schematically sound now.
Yeah, as I told you, we would be.
Yeah. I had my doubts, but I'm a believer. Your best friend has gotten it done.
Mike McIntyre. Yeah. What a great guy. Just a stand-up guy. But the West Coast has good football teams.
You know what I'm tired of?
What's that?
I'm tired of people in general, but committee members saying, well, they play these games so late at night that I just can't stay up and watch them. Well, if you're a committee member, you hear this?
You should be watching it.
Guess what? You come go to school for me, and I'll be a committee member on the college football playoff because I would be more than happy to watch any college football game that I needed to see to make my decision on the playoff. Your only job is to watch college football.
You have one job.
For that committee, all you have to do is sit on your ass and watch football. Come trade lives with me. I will take your job.
It's not even that.
All you have to do is sit there and watch it.
Record the games and watch them the next day.
It's just one day.
It's like 3 hours of your life.
I mean, what? You're going to bed instead of midnight, basically when all the coverage from the ABC game goes off.
Yeah.
To going to bed at 2 a.m. What's 2 hours? All these guys probably have other jobs where they stay up till 3 a.m.
So, like last week, the Cal-Washington game went to a major rain delay, yeah. Lightning delay.
I almost made it.
I stayed out and watched the rest of that game.
Yeah.
And, like, it was like 3 o'clock going to bed.
So what?
But I wanted to watch it. I also had money on that game.
Probably one of the better Pac-12 games of the year that – sort of like the Wayne County Laurel game last week. Probably the best high school football game Wayne County will play all year, and nobody saw it.
It was just – it really surprises me that you say that because it wasn't offensively explosive at all by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-mm. One of the best hard-fought games of the year that nobody will see.
And these dudes were playing at like 3 in the morning. Well, to them it's probably like midnight, 1 in the morning.
Still, imagine Alabama being on the field past midnight.
That would be riots. Well, especially if they lost all where they played at midnight.
Yeah, that would be the excuse.
Because we went to California 2 years ago.
And played.
And we were playing at 1 o'clock midnight.
In the morning, yeah. Here. No excuses.
That's why I'm glad the game is at 11. And I told you and your dad that before. Y'all were like, oh, that's a good point. Look, they made us play at 1 in the morning there. That's fine. When
you
they come
play
here,
at 9 in the morning.
Play at 9 in the morning in 110 degree heat.
Let's go, cuzzy.
That's the only thing that's going to make this game fair.
Yeah.
Because those Cali boys are going to be melting by the time that kickoff starts.
They ain't used to it. And we'll see.
That's the only thing that I think that evens the game out.
Yeah. But people need to quit hating on the Pac-12, especially people who don't stay up and watch it.
Like, if you want to hate on Justin Herbert for being overrated, go ahead. Do that. But he's still a good quarterback. I just think he's overhyped.
I bet all but about four or five teams in the country would take him on their team.
Yeah. Like, if you're Clemson, Georgia, Alabama.
Oklahoma, you're set. Texas wouldn't take him.
God, Jesus Christ, no. Texas wouldn't take anybody over Ellinger, man.
The prodigal son of Texas.
He'll probably be governor one day.
Would not shock me.
At all.
He's going to be the offense coordinator because he's not going to be in the NFL long.
No, not at all. Have you seen where teams are saying that they're going to tank for Justin Herbert or Tua?
I mean, if you're good, if you're saying you're going to tank this year, you might as well just stick it out and suck next year too. Because it's just one more year and touchdown Jesus is coming. No, it's not the picture at Notre Dame. It's Trevor Lawrence.
What moron?
I don't know.
Wants to tank for Justin Herbert?
I don't know. Not when you. What's one more year?
Okay, Miami Dolphin fans, y'all suck 10 years in a row.
What is one more? The GM can literally walk in the owner's office and say, hey, man, even if we do tank and get this rookie next year, what are we going to win? 6-7 games tops? Just give me one more year if we're going to tank. And if we don't get the number one pick, you can send me out the door.
Okay, tank, get the number one pick. Draft him. Trade him.
Because people are going to want him.
There's been three generational quarterbacks talked about in my lifetime, at least. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Trevor Lawrence. And they all have the possibility to be drafted by the Indianapolis
Colts.
Good
chance Colts get all of them. Wouldn't that be?
I mean, if you're Ursa, you got to kind of think to yourself,
why not tank?
I mean, hell, we sucked for Luck and
why
we got
did
him.
They pay Brian Hoyer $12 million.
Look, man, sometimes you do dumb things.
Did you just have $12 million that you just wanted to just throw in the wind? Come give me some if you're just giving money away. Buy somebody season tickets to the Colts games.
I didn't understand it because I felt like Chad Kelly unbiasedly played good throughout the preseason.
That's what I thought. I don't know, man.
And he was just going to be hurt. I mean, suspended for two games.
I don't know.
I just feel like he's a good backup quarterback.
I feel like they don't want him to play because they think he's going to win games. And I think they may really be wanting to tank.
I mean, that may be possible. I mean, I just don't think Brissett's the answer there.
Mm-mm. How'd we get off on this?
I started talking about tanking for Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Still on Pac-12.
So, Washington, Oregon. I'm going to say it. Arizona State, Utah.
USC didn't look bad.
Young gun slinging USC. I mean, those are good teams. Washington State.
Young Cuzzy said, you going to play man on me, I'm going to torch you.
I mean, they were just slinging that thing across the yard. Graham Harrell, man.
What a hire.
What a guy.
Watch out for him in about 3 years.
You know, I thought about that, coordinators, you know, that are really young, get a coaching job soon.
Watch out.
He's already calling plays for one of the blue bloods.
Yes.
And he's – now, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself.
Let's see how
this.
The year goes.
But his play calling has been rather good considering his circumstances as well.
Yes.
Because he set them up to succeed. And they have.
True freshman quarterback, 45 points on us. It did. They weren't playing nobody. They were playing Stanford. And Stanford is usually fundamentally sound on defense.
There's another Pac-12 team that's right there in the mix a lot of times.
Yeah, and you got to be damn smart to get to Stanford.
Yeah. UCLA, the experiment with Chip Kelly, not working out.
I don't know if it's – here's you a question. What is it more of, Chip Kelly – or DTR?
Personally, I think it's Chip Kelly. And it's because I don't think it's the same Chip Kelly that was at Oregon.
But DTR is not.
Oh, he's ass. He's booty. That's for sure. Yeah,
he's not that good. He just needs to open it back up and run what he did at Oregon that worked for years.
I think people also forget the trouble that Oregon was about to get in.
Yeah.
And he saw the writing on the wall with that, and he hot-tailed it to the NFL.
I just think he should just open that system back up and just run it. And then if it just don't work, it just don't work no more. Take your money and go home.
But he used to be a machine, man.
I know.
And it just, I don't think he's that same person anymore.
I don't know. He's not running the same system.
No.
He's trying to bring the NFL to college, and that don't work.
If you're going to bring the NFL to college, you better have a damn good offensive line and a running back.
Yep. He has neither.
I think Arizona is also terrible. I will say that.
Yeah. Kevin Sumlin was not a good hire. They hired a name, not a coach.
With the exception of Johnny Manziel, what has Kevin Sumlin done in football?
Nothing.
With the exception of Johnny Manziel and Case Keenum. I'll give him Houston. I'll give him that. The group of five.
Yeah.
But if Johnny Manziel doesn't become Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M.
He's out long before he was.
Because he struggled in the SEC.
Mightily.
And he lost that huge comeback against UCLA open weekend.
Yep.
And that was the moment that it was done for. He could have won a national championship, and they were done with his crap.
Yeah.
And then Arizona just kind of, hey.
We'll take you.
Come on.
We don't care. We'll take you.
I would rather have just hired with from within. I'd rather have went out and gotten a young coordinator and come in.
That didn't happen, though.
Oregon State, I think, is coming around in the Pac-12. I think they have their years away. Here's a thought for you. You know if a coach is going to be good in year two.
Yeah. You have a good feeling.
If it's not progressing in year two, it's probably not going to progress very much in year three.
You talking about Chad Morris?
I'm just talking about coaches in general.
Well,
but Chad Morris fits that mold, and we discussed that. I just don't think that experiment's going to work out for him.
They looked very bad.
I think, in general, look at Jeremy Pruitt. They progressed in year two. Hey, hit the road.
Get out of here.
It's time to go.
Philip Fulmer's got to come back.
And I think that's what you're gonna see with Oregon State. You know, I think you're going to find out what they're made of in year two of it.
You got to find a coach.
Yeah, like that's it. You got to recruit. And it's going to be hard to recruit people to Oregon State in football.
Yeah, because you can walk right down the road to Eugene and have all that the world can offer you.
On a silver platter.
Why would you not go there?
I also think that you have to develop the talent. Look at Kirk Ferentz at Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, he never signs anybody higher than a 3-star recruit.
And that's what you got to do with that. You got to develop your talent at schools like that until you get to the big leagues, and then you can recruit like the big leagues. But until you compete at the top, you're not going to get the top players.
Clemson was not built overnight.
No.
Dabo Swinney built that from the ground up.
Nobody was talking about Clemson 10 years ago.
And then it slowly became wide receiver university.
Yep.
Okay. Then you started getting quarterbacks like Taj Boyd, who were developed at Clemson. Then you started getting speedy running backs, CJ Spiller, who can cut on a dime. And then it builds into, let's go out and get Deshaun Watson. Okay.
And now you can get anybody you want.
Let's go out and get the best defensive tackles in the country. Let's go get Travis Etienne. Let's go get those running backs.
They've went from, hey, do you want to come to Clemson, to, hey, Clemson wants you. Here's your spot. It's more like an honor to receive an offer from them now than sort of like a consideration.
And
sort of like when Saban calls, it's like, yeah, if you're a 5-star, 4-star, it's like, yeah, probably going to go.
Well, it's just like, you know, I think, you know, what you're saying, this fits also with Gardner Minshew last year. You know, he's going to go to Bama, be the backup, and start his grad assistant career. You know, Mike Leach calls him and says, okay, you can do that, or you can lead the country in passing yards. It's your choice. You take it.
Look at him now.
Styling and profiling in the NFL.
He's just on TV, by the way.
Oh, was he really?
Right as you brought him up, they're doing a little piece on him.
I can't even see it. There's just a corner in my way.
It's okay.
But that's my take on the West Coast bias. The East Coast bias.
Yeah, there you go. There is no West
Coast bias. There's no West Coast bias.
Not unless you live out there.
The only person I ever see famous that's like is Yogi Roth. And he works for the Pac-12 Network, so he kind of has to be.
He sort of has to be a big Pac-12 biased.
That's all he talks about.
All
right, we're going to get into our picks this week. And I know that I am 12 games behind Brady Scott. Head-to-head. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
But I am like 4-0 on bets. But we won't discuss that.
We ain't counting bets.
Yeah, because I won, so you don't want to count it. What a sore loser, man.
Okay.
We got a very special guest with us today. He's been on the show before. My brother, McKenzie. McKenzie, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How's it going?
Could be better. I could be winning this year. This was my year to win, but...
Quote, unquote.
You know...
This is my year.
I've been losing two battles, but I will win the war.
Yep.
Okay, well.
We'll see.
All right, well, first, we're good. I'm glad you have faith in me. The first game we have on our schedule is Ohio State at Indiana. Ohio State's a 17.5-point favorite. Who are you taking this game, Brady?
Ohio State with the points.
With the point? Well, we don't care about gambling. You just said that.
I'm just telling you they're going to cover.
All right, McKenzie, who are you taking in this game?
No, I got to go with Ohio State. They're definitely
going to
cover, I feel like.
I'm going to take Ohio State, too, with the points. I think that's a very good game to make some money on. The next game, we are Kansas State at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's a 7-point favorite in this game. Who are you taking, Brady?
Well, it seems like a little fire under Kansas State last week when I picked Bowling Green to cover against them. Well, it's probably not going to come well. You probably know who I'm going to pick, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And Mississippi State by a field goal.
Oh, man. McKenzie, who are you taking in this game?
Yeah, I'm going to go State as well. I think it'll be close. The only reason I'm going to State is just because it's at Mississippi State.
I think, you know, it'd be
closer than the experts think.
Yeah, Kansas State's played really good football last 2 weeks.
He's got a good coach.
You know, better, I think, than people predicted. I'm going to go Kansas State in this game. I think they do get the job done on the road.
Oh, roles reversed.
All right, we got your alma mater here. Southern Miss at Troy. Troy's a 3-point favorite. Who are you taking, Brady?
It's not my alma mater. I have not graduated. And while I do go to school there, I do not expect their football team to win. Troy.
Whoa. Picking against your own school, your own blood.
Troy by 13.
Troy by 13. You agree with him, McKenzie?
Yeah, I was kind of iffy about this one, but I'm going to have to take Troy just because also it's at Troy. Senior quarterback, senior running back. I wanted to go Southern just because I feel like last week was a big test for him and Troy hadn't really seen nothing like that, but I'm going to stick with Troy.
All right, well, I love Mississippi, so, I mean, I'm going Southern Miss.
Go ahead, man. Make my day.
Jack Abrahams will come out, and he's gonna throw all over this defense, and Southern Miss is going to take this win home.
Jack Abraham, 0-3 in state championships.
Stanford at UCF. UCF's a 9-point favorite. Who are you taking, Brady?
I'm taking the Knights and the Bounce House in Orlando.
Ooh.
Too much offense. They outscore Stanford. Stanford can't score with them.
I mean, if they win, I guess technically they will outscore them.
I don't care if KJ's healthy or not.
I don't know where the status is for him.
USC scored that many points. UCF can score that many points as well.
McKenzie, who you got in this game?
Yep. I'm going UCF as well. If it was 4 years ago, I might have stayed down, but got to go with the Knights.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with y'all on this one. I think Brandon Wimbush is just a different breed for UCF quarterbacks other than McKenzie Milton, and I think that they're going to take it to Stanford. Next up, we got Bama at South Carolina. Bama is a 25-point favorite in this game. Who are you taking, Brady?
Roll Tide.
You think they cover?
What is it?
25 in Columbia.
Roll Tide.
Ooh. McKenzie, what you got on this game?
I'm going to say Bama wins. I'm going to say they win by
24. A sneaky man. I'm going to take Bama as well. 25 points is a lot.
Roll Tide.
But it is South Carolina Will Muschamp, so I'll say they cover. Next up, we got USC at BYU. Now, can't forget, BYU has come off two really good wins. But so has USC.
BYU lost week one.
They did lose week one. Yeah, they're just coming off the Tennessee win.
Yeah, they got beat in the Holy War.
Okay, yep. Well, they definitely did not.
Sorry.
No, well, thank you for correcting me. I'd rather you correct me than. USC's favored by 4 points. Who are you taking this game?
USC's only favored by 4?
Yeah.
That line is way too low. BYU barely beat Tennessee. Tennessee lost to Georgia State. You barely beat Tennessee. You don't beat USC.
Who you taking this game, McKenzie?
Yeah, I agree with Brady again. It might be why he's killing you in these picks, honestly.
Well, he's not going to win this one because I completely agree. We had the whole segment about East Coast bias and, you know, more respect for the West Coast. And I'm not saying it necessarily starts with this game, but USC wins this and USC covers this game.
Yeah, that line's way too low. It took a miracle for them to beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, they went down – they had a Hail Mary, basically, that got them in field goal range at the end of regulation, and then they just ran it down Tennessee's throats in overtime.
That was a good finish.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tennessee should have won that game.
Yeah, they should have. I completely agree. So, I don't know why I thought BYU won the first game.
I got to go USC. The freshman QB is going to be slinging that thing.
All right, next up we got NC State at West Virginia. NC State's a 7-point favorite. Who you taking, Brady?
West Virginia so far this year has been a dumpster fire. So I'm going to go NC State. I mean, last week it got to the point where Pat was tweeting, has West Virginia scored yet?
I think that might have had more to do with Missouri than it did West Virginia, you think?
I don't. West Virginia struggled mildly in week one as well. They have not looked good at all. I haven't seen NC State yet. But they're not that bad.
McKenzie, who are you taking in this game?
Yeah, I'm running with NC State, too.
Yeah, this was the only game on the schedule where I was like, I really don't know who to take because, honestly,
I haven't seen NC State.
I haven't seen NC State.
But I have seen, sort of like with the Georgia State pick to cover, I haven't seen them, but I'd seen Tennessee and what they were about.
That worked out for you.
And I've seen what West Virginia's about, and that's not much. So they win, more power to them.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on this one, and it's gonna be because of the same reason. Because I have seen West Virginia twice. So I'm gonna go NC State with the Wolfpack here, and I guess we'll see what NC State's got. 7 points. For the way that West Virginia's played, 7 points. I feel like it's pretty low. Next up, we're going to take things a little wild here. We're going to go Hampton at Howard, and the spread on that game is straight up even. It's a coin flip. Who are you taking, Brady?
We said Francois was at Hampton, correct?
Correct.
Hampton.
You're taking Hampton. McKenzie, are you taking Francois or are you taking Cam Newton Jr.?
Well, since Cam Newton hasn't really played worth the crap here lately, I'm going to not lean on his younger brother, as you know, the older brother is always the better, superior, athletic, one of the family. So if he can't get the job done, I don't think Howard's going to get the job done. I'm rolling with Francois.
Those are good picks, but listen, guys,
It's a coin flip. I flip a coin. Okay. I'm rolling with Howard in this one, man. Maybe it's just the stars going to align in this game. This is going to be the turning point for me right here.
This is your week.
Cam Newton's brother is going to put me back on the map.
Maybe he doesn't dress. I just hope he doesn't dress like his brother.
Listen, Cam Newton has no friends in his life.
I would never let you walk around with that.
If my older brother wore some McKenzie, if you wore the shit he wears to press conference, man, I literally would sit you down and have a talk with you. I understand you have a certain sense of fashion that I don't, but I just thank God that it's not on that level.
It's not that. It's not wearing.
That's terrible.
It's not wearing my auntie's do rag press conference and stuff. That's not the look, man.
Okay, real quick. Who has the worst wardrobe in press conferences? Cam Newton or Russell Westbrook?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
The man wore a tail. He wore a tail last year.
He tries to be too. I think fashion's about expressing yourself, and I think Russ does that, and sometimes he gets over the top. But I think Cam Newton is just trying his hardest to look like a bunch of stuff you find at like a Goodwill store and just throw it together or something. It's bad.
And that's fashion talk.
Like, when he wore the do-rag thing, I gotta say this, man. This is what I thought, for real. In the Scooby-Doo movie, when Scooby dresses up to try to get on the plane.
That's what he looks like.
That's exactly what he wants.
Oh, my God.
All right, back to football. We got Texas Tech at Arizona. Texas Tech's a two-point favorite. Who are you taking this game, Brady?
I've seen Arizona play. Is a two-point favorite for Tech?
Yes.
I've seen Arizona play. I haven't seen Tech play, but I've seen that quarterback play some against us last year. He made our defense look very good, which they obviously weren't. I'm going to say Khalil Tate figures it out this week, and I'm going to go Arizona.
Ooh.
Sort of flip it up on you there.
McKenzie, who are you taking this game?
I know it's at Arizona. I'm not sure if it's a night game or not. But I like watching Khalil Tate play. He's one of my favorite players to watch. But it seems like every time I pick Arizona and my pick them, they let me down. But I'm not doing it this week. I'm going with Tech.
Ooh, bold move there, Cotton. I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to go Texas Tech as well.
I'm about to say, man, you've been reading my mail.
All right, we got Oklahoma at UCLA. Oklahoma's a 23.5 point favorite. Who you taking, Brady? Who? Oklahoma at UCLA.
You already know, Boomer.
Boomer Sooner?
By what's the spread?
23.5.
Make it 35.
McKenzie, who you got in this game?
Yeah, I'm going the same way, obviously. I was going to say 31 at least. Oh, you handle them.
Have you seen Nick Saban Jr. in the press conferences?
Yeah.
Why'd you go work out? Is this something you really, really have on your mind? I had something on my mind. Why'd you work out? Get better. I didn't feel like we did anything there.
I mean, UCLA had a lot of hope with Chip Kelly, but as we discussed earlier, he's not the same Chip Kelly. I'm rolling with Oklahoma and the points as well. So we're all on the same page with this one. Next up is one of the better games, in my opinion, TCU at Purdue. TCU's a two-point favorite. Who you taking?
I got to roll with Purdue, man. Hard to get off of that. I mean, I think those kids are still playing for Tyler Trent a lot. And I just can't pick against them right now. And Rondale Moore is going to have another huge game.
Who are you taking this one, McKenzie?
Yeah, I'm going with Purdue as well.
You know, last week I picked Vanderbilt to beat Purdue. Now, I was not informed that they were naming the gate after Tyler Trent last week, or there would have been no doubt in my mind I would have went Purdue. So, since I didn't go Purdue last week for Tyler Trent, I'm going to go Purdue this week.
Classy move, my friend. Classy move.
Next up, we got Florida State at Virginia. Virginia's a 7-point favorite. Who are you taking in this game?
Florida State is poo-poo. Virginia.
Who are you taking this game, McKenzie?
Yeah, I just can't pick the Florida State. They're bad. Even though I don't really watch much of Virginia, I just got to go with Virginia.
Willie Taggart will never be a head coach again.
I don't think so. Not at Power 5 level.
No, he has ruined his opportunities.
Look, this is one of those games where I haven't really seen Virginia play, but I've definitely seen Florida State play.
And Florida State can't pick up a fumble.
They can't line guys up facing the right direction. So I'm going Virginia with this
easy
one.
Easy picks there.
Next up on our list, we have Arizona State at Michigan State. Michigan State is a 14.5-point favorite. Who are you taking this game?
Well, you know, last year, Michigan State went down there to Tempe and got a little embarrassed. Arizona State with the upset in Tempe. We'll come out with a hot flip in the morning if Michigan State comes out in those lime green things again. But I'm going Michigan State. They haven't forgotten what happened last year. But if it comes out there wearing those lime green things again, it's going to be a hot flip to Arizona State.
We can see you taking in this game.
I
got
to go Arizona State, man.
You see, I like the way he thinks more than you right now, okay? It's not going to take lime green uniforms for me to realize Herm Edwards is rolling in to East Lansing, and they're going back to Tempe with a win.
That freshman ain't seen nothing like this yet, man. That he's not ready. Michigan State remembers what happened last year, and it will not happen. It will not happen again.
Fork them. We're going Sun Devils all the way.
It will not happen again.
Sun Devils.
All right, man.
All right, we have a very intriguing matchup up next.
Come to me last.
Florida at Kentucky. Now, Kentucky has not beaten Florida back-to-back since Noah built the Ark. Florida's a 9-point favorite. They're in Lexington. McKenzie, who are you taking in this game?
I got to go with the Gators. I just don't think Kentucky got enough to get it done this year, even with it being at Kentucky.
I think that with Terry Wilson going down, and we're going to see a different quarterback, obviously. I don't even know who it is. But I think that's going to challenge Cash Daniel and his defense to step the game up, and it's going to come down to special teams. And so I'm not going against Cash Daniel in the Kentucky defense, and I'm going to roll with Kentucky in this one. Brady, who you got in this game? You're thinking about it.
I've been thinking about this one for a long time. I'm torn even to this point because I'm going against every fiber in my being right now because I've been watching all these Cash Daniels and Tim Tebow clips on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm like, these boys are really ready. And we all know how trash Felipe Franks is and how trash I think he is. And I'm also not a huge fan of Dan Mullen. If Terry Wilson is in this game, it is Kentucky. Terry Wilson is not in this game, and the Florida defense is too much for the Cats.
I think that's going to be one of the better matchups of the weekend. That's a very good insight there.
I just don't want to pick Kentucky and it get ugly. I can live with a close loss there, but I can't live with the ugly Florida win knowing I picked Kentucky just for, I don't know. I think Florida's defense may score. Florida's defense is probably going to score, and then their offense adds two or three, and that's plenty.
All right, we got the game of the week coming up, Iowa at Iowa State. Iowa is a 1-point favorite. Now, this is just a toss-up game, really. Who are you taking in this one?
Well, if we go back a couple episodes, Iowa State is better than Texas, and if Texas is what everybody thinks they are, I have to go Iowa State here. I think Brock Purdy has figured it out, and he's in his groove now, and they bring whatever that trophy's name is, and they keep it at home.
What kids are you taking in this game?
Yeah, I'm riding with Iowa State, too. I mean, it's an in-state game, obviously, But Iowa State being the home team, I watched them a little bit last year. Hadn't seen them this year, but I'm gonna go to Iowa State.
You know, I'm gonna flip a coin on y'all. I'm gonna go Hawkeyes. I think that they're gonna control the clock more, and we saw what Northern Iowa did when they rolled into to Ames.
I think they learned from that.
So I'm gonna go Hawkeyes in this one.
They won't overlook the Hawkeyes.
All right, so McKenzie, I didn't tell you to do this, so it's perfectly fine if you don't have one. We're gonna do Super Dogs real quick before we get an NFL pick.
Got one. Don't worry about it, buddy. I
can't
prepare.
All right. Well, you roll with your dog pick, man. Who you got?
I got Arizona State.
Oh, so what you did was you said, "Hey, little brother, I saw what you wrote on that piece of paper, so I'm gonna get it too," because that's my dog. They're 14.5-point underdog. Yeah, they're gonna get this done. That's a very good pick, man.
Well, not only that, I mean, I picked them to win as well because I think they're going to go to Mississippi State and handle business. But it was a hard choice for me. I mean, I wanted something with a little bit bigger spread than some of the other games I was looking at. So it wasn't a hard decision for me.
All right, Brad, who are you rolling with in this one?
I picked Michigan State to win. I think they're going to cover too. So. I'm not on y'all's wavelengths, apparently. I'm going to go with the Rainbow Warriors from Hawaii coming across to the mainland to the rainy Seattle area to play the Washington Huskies. And they will cover the 21.5-point spread because they will do what I love to see, and they will air it out.
I don't know, man. That 21.5.
The air raid is going to take over Seattle.
That's a good pick, I guess.
There will be a rainbow over the stadium before the game. The rain will flow away, and the rainbow will be above the stadium pregame.
See, you always take it one too far. Like, you had it okay, but then, I'm guaranteeing a rainbow at the stadium.
Hey. How are you going to feel when you see a picture of a rainbow over Washington Stadium tomorrow? It's a sign.
All right, we're getting into the NFL picks now. We're going to do five of them. First up, we got Colts at Texans. Colts at Titans. I've told you that three times a day. I don't know why I want the Colts and Texans to play this week.
I don't know.
Colts at the Titans. Titans are a 3-point favorite. Who are you taking them, Brady?
I'm taking A.J. Brown and Marcus Mariota and the Titans.
Who you got in this game, McKenzie?
Yeah, I'm going with the Titans. I just hope Mac puts up a bunch of fantasy points for me.
Yeah, I'm going with Titans as well. I think they just absolutely. I don't know if they are that good and beat the dog shit out of your Browns. Or I just bought into the hype that really isn't there.
Low blow. Watch it.
All right, next up we got Vikings at Packers. Packers are a 2.5-point favorite. Who are you taking, Brady?
Vikings.
Ooh.
I need the skull receivers to score some points.
Who are you taking this game, McKenzie?
I got the Vikings, too. I mean, I think it would be close, but not as close as last offense or non-existent offense that the Packers
faced.
So, yeah, I'm going with the Vikings.
All right, I hate to flip it up again, man. I hate the Packers. I'm not a Rodgers fan. You all know that. But I think their defense is good.
All right, Reese Davis.
And Aaron Rodgers is trying out a new playlist sleeve, quarterback wrist, whatever you want to call it, QB coach wrist. And I think that's going to help him out more in the huddle. So, I'm going Packers.
Okay, Reese Davis.
Eagles at Falcons. The Eagles are a 2-point favorite. Who are you taking?
The Falcons did not score last week. They do not score more than the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't blame you on that one. Who are you taking, McKenzie?
Yeah, I'm definitely going Eagles.
Yeah, I think
– where you at, Reese?
I think Carson Wentz figured it out. you know, the whole Eagles offense did last week in the second half against the Redskins. I'm going to go Eagles in this one. All right, so next up we have the revenge tour finally taking place. And it's either put up or shut up. It's Saints at the Rams. The Rams are a two-point favorite. Who are you taking, Brady?
Well, as we all know, if the pass interference did not have – if there would have been a pass interference call last year, Saints probably win that game and go to the Super Bowl. So, guess what?
What?
It ain't going to be close. Rams. No late call is going to influence this one. It's going to be over.
Are you taking this game, McKenzie?
Well, you already know I'm going with the Saints. I think it'll be close, just like the other games were last year. Defense got to be better for the Saints. Defense got to be better than it was the first game. I know it was the first game.
You saw what Bill O'Brien did to that defense.
Last year we were in the dome. This time it's on the road. But I still think the Saints get it done. I think the defense comes more focused, fired up, ready to play, and they get it done.
You saw what Bill O'Brien did to that defense? What's the genius Sean McVay going to do to that defense?
I also saw what Mike Vrabel did to your Browns defense. I don't want to hear no kind of bullshit come out of your mouth, Mr. Hype Train.
You gave me a low blow. I had to retaliate.
I'm going with the Saints, and I get worked up over Brady just getting under my skin for no reason.
You had to see it coming.
You know, if Sam Darnold doesn't have mono, that's the only reason that I'm about to pick your Browns, Nick. Browns at the Jets, Monday Night Football. Who are you taking, Brady? Browns are 6.5-point favorites.
Prime time Baker. Let's go. He throws for 404 TDs.
Shut up.
Heard it here first. Four hundo, four tutties.
Are you taking this game, McKenzie?
I'm going with the Browns. I don't think he's throwing for no 400 yards. But Baker, Odell, those guys, they seem to play better when the spotlight's on Monday Night Football. I mean, I think he'll throw for maybe, 290, 300, maybe two, three scores. But the defense has got to – talk about defense. Defense has got to be better. Would they have an 18 penalty or something like that? I mean,
that was awful.
It was hard to watch. That was the only game that was on up here in Ohio. So I watched it the whole game last week, and it was tough to watch. Like, I wanted the Browns to win, but it was tough to see, honestly. I hope they get it together.
400.
This is the week to do it.
Three 100-yard receivers.
Brady, you've been hanging out with Logan too much.
Why?
I'm going with the Browns in this game, but only because the Jets are banged up. No Sam Darnold. Got caught with them nasty girls from New Jersey. Got mono.
That's where he kissed that league goodbye.
All right, so that wraps it up for our picks. You got anything you want to add, Brady?
What's you guys' favorite song from Post Malone's new album?
Ooh, have you listened to the album, McKenzie?
I haven't listened to the whole thing. I've heard like three, four songs off of it.
What's the song with Halsey and Travis Scott?
No, it's Halsey and Future.
Yeah, Travis Scott's by Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah. Okay, so what's the one with Halsey?
Die For Me.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite one. I've only listened to half that album also. But yeah, Halsey dropped some sick lines in that song.
She did.
And they're very underrated. She is bad.
Mine is.
So I'd have to say the Ozzy Osbourne one just because it's the one out of the two or three I've actually heard. So I'll give a listen to that.
I've been reading my mail.
Is that your favorite?
Oh, yeah. The greatest collab of 2019.
Yeah, you didn't know Ozzy Osbourne was in the song, right?
No, I was just sitting there. I didn't even look at the songs. I was just driving. Hit play on the first song and just let it go through, and it gets to that one. I'm like, this is Ozzy Osbourne. Who's in this song? I was like, did it just shuffle onto something else? I was a little confused.
Did you see on Twitter where everybody was like, I don't know who this Ozzy Osbourne guy is, but Post Malone can make anybody famous?
Who doesn't know who Ozzy Osbourne is? I live under a freaking rock.
Apparently, some people do.
All right. Well, the only other thing I got to say is when you see the rainbow over the stadium, smile and say, go Rainbow Warriors.
All right, well, this has been another episode of the Air Race Sports Podcast. We want to thank our special guest, McKenzie, for coming on with us. I'm Chandler Carney. He's Brady Scott. And thank you all for listening.